2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Curie. I saw this thing over the weekend, Alex.
You saw a thing, huh?
Yeah. Well, I read a thing. Actually, it was sent to me. I think it's kind of funny.
Tune in to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell read a thing.
I read a thing. That's a thing if I read a thing. I'll
I know.
Say that right now.
Look, yeah. If Scott's going to spend some time on that article, you better listen up.
Well, I just read the pictures, but that's just another thing. So, Kevin Hart, you know who he is.
Yes, got it.
I think he's a funny guy, right?
He's like the Hollywood. It's funny, too, because The Rock, who he's been in movies with, it's like those two guys are the hottest commodities on like the action movies and comedy movies right now. Yeah.
So, anyways, it was kind of a over the weekend, they had this NFL draft-a-thon. Mm. So, it was a live chat with celebrities and athletes. So, it was like there was Tom Brady, Mark Wahlberg, Deion Sanders, Michael Strahan.
And it was while the draft was going on?
During the draft. And so, Kevin Hart just kind of joked around. He goes, you know what, I don't think you're really that great, Tom Brady, and you'll only be great if you could go to the Detroit Lions and win a Super Bowl with the Detroit Lions, and then I'll think you're great.
It's kind of true. At some point you go, hey, listen, but the Buccaneers, Scott, were the butt end of all of the jokes in the NFL for the longest time.
Well, when they were the yucks, and
when they had the creamsicle jerseys, they were the butt of every joke. And so
It was hard to play against them with the creamsicle. Just so you know, it's just like, this is like, this is really, this is.
Looks like I'm in the World League again.
Yeah, it's like a clown suit out there.
I have this quote from Zach Wilson that I want to play for you, Scott, before we get into BYU's success in this year's draft. He, of course, the highest draft pick ever for a BYU anybody except for Steve Young in a supplemental draft. And to me, that's not the same. Supplemental draft, not the same. So when they like put that asterisk by it, I'm always like, no, throw it out. Yes, Steve Young's amazing. Zach Wilson's the highest draft pick ever. But here is what he said about Mike LaFleur, his new offensive coordinator there going into New York at the Zoom press conference with his new New York hat on.
But, you know, Coach LaFleur is awesome. You know, we get along super well. It's natural. It's easy guy to talk to and joke around with and get along with. And the cool part is you don't always have to talk about football. You know, we can just talk about whatever, you know, life. And he's a great guy. I'm so excited to work with him. And then he's a cool dude. I think it's what he's going to be doing scheme wise is going to be exactly what we need.
I love
I love it being in Bali with my sweetheart on her honeymoon.
Oh my goodness.
She's just amazing. Okay. Everything is so awesome and incredible.
It is.
Oh, the weather here
is
like,
I just
can't imagine it. It's just everything is so easy.
She looks good in every outfit. Every outfit.
Wow. Just okay. Wait till he starts seeing ghosts. That's all I'm going to say.
Wait till
he gets out there and he's just like, man, I'm seeing ghosts.
Wait till he doesn't do something that the coach asked him to do.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's just like they're not talking to each other. They're staring at each other from the sideline. He puts his play card up to his mouth to tell him something. You know, I mean, there's going to be all that stuff there.
I think the best relationships, Alex, the best relationships are when the coach and the player hate each other. That's when you really get stuff done.
Yeah.
There's just the tension and the edge, and the frustration from that or the release of that happens in a game.
But Don Shula and Dan Marino didn't get along great.
Oh,
did they?
Heavens no. Oh, I'm just telling you, all the great relationships, like you think You think Bill Parcells got along?
Anybody?
You think Bill Walsh got along?
Joe Montana? Do you think you and Joe Montana butted heads?
Bill Walsh was a tyrant.
Wow.
He was it's probably why he had like heart and stomach issues is because it looked like
these kids were killing him, man.
Well, he was this calm guy on the sideline, but he was like,
oh my goodness,
like you couldn't stand as far as him out on the field. Like you had to stand back.
It wasn't just to get back for the refs; it was get back for the coach.
No, it was like, I'm the coach.
Okay,
you get back.
I like it. So Zach Wilson represented the highest pick ever that BYU had, and then not just that. They had the third rounder with Brady Christensen going, and then they had three more players get drafted all in the seventh round.
The third round, Alex, can we just talk about that for a second?
That's
a big deal. Like a third round draft choice in the NFL, most teams, it's like you have your Neiman Marcus or your, I don't know, Rodeo Drive.
Is that your first?
That's the first round.
Yeah,
and then everything else is like Target and Walmart and but man, you get the deals. Like that's how you live. That's how you survive.
The third
that's
round's
how you...
more of a Nordstrom Rack.
Yes,
maybe.
Okay. Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
See, these are terms I can understand. So
getting. I'm just saying, a guy picked in the third round is someone thinks a lot of you.
Sure.
They like you, and there's a good probability that you're gonna be. Fit into that rotation and you may be a year out, maybe not, but it's not out of the realm to see a guy in the third round playing.
So you saw Brady Christensen got picked up in the third round, and then you had a trio of seventh round guys. Dax Milne, who actually went second to last in the draft overall to the Washington football team as a wideout. Kyrus Tonga and Chris Wilcox both getting picked actually back to back there in the seventh round to the Bears for Tonga and Chris Wilcox just immediately escaped me, of course, where he's going to be going. But
I think it was the Chiefs, wasn't it?
No, that's Zane Anderson signed with the Chiefs. But that being said, it's just escaping me now. I'm mad about it. But regardless, what I wanted to say was with those five draft picks, that's the most they've had since 2002. And I thought, man, that's awesome. And we talked with Mitch Harper last week, who said they could even see, you know, Matt Bushman getting picked up. He didn't. He went as an undrafted free agent to the Las Vegas Raiders over the weekend, along with seven other BYU guys, but not to the Raiders, but to other teams. And all I could think of was, that's great, except for it represents a lot of guys leaving, and which for BYU in the past has not been a really good thing because as I was looking at some things, I hearkened back to a time, Scott, when I was.
Oh, did you read something too?
I read something. Yes, I hearkened back to a time when I was a young college student, and BYU was.
Did you have hair back then?
I did. I'm glad you brought that up.
I'd like to see.
I'll send you some pictures. Yeah. I'll send you like a picture of the picture. You know, like now you got to take pictures of like the physical pictures. So I'm looking at what BYU did. When I transferred to BYU, they were a year out of that 2001 season where they went 12-2, Gary Croton's first year, the first year removed from Lavelle Edwards. And they had an awesome season. And they put seven guys into the draft that year. Awesome draft for them. The next year and the next few years go like this. In 2002, BYU went 5-7. This is the year after the 12-2 year. Okay. The year after that, they went 4-8 in 2003. And then the year after that, they went 5-7 again. And those were my three main years at BYU, watching three losing seasons. Gary Croton, thanks. Appreciate it. I was there for for one semester there when Bronco Mendenhall carried BYU to 6-6 in that 2005 season. But those are the years I went. What I'm saying is that after a draft, you lose a bunch of guys. That's the bad news. And those bunch of guys can make the win-loss record swing happen huge, okay? And that's what happened when BYU drafted all those dudes from that 2001 class, and they went into that 2002 draft. 2002, the football season, 2003 and 2004 were absolutely terrible. And here's the silver lining on all this, Scott, if you're a BYU fan.
Oh, I'll give you a silver lining.
The silver lining is this. Gary Croton was not a good coach. That was proven. And not only that, Kalani Sitake is not a new coach either. He's a better coach, and he's not a new coach. So when you're a new coach and you inherit somebody else's recruits and you inherit a legacy program, beyond a legacy program, Kalani Sitake's already established himself. And I think what you're going to see here is not the fall off to a losing record, but I will say you've got a tougher schedule. It's going to be hard. You're going back to the independent schedule of years gone by, and it's not going to be the cream puff schedule that everybody made fun of last year that helped carry you to the 11-1 season, which we were very grateful for as college football watchers. But when you have that many guys go in the draft, you have to wonder, with all that talent leaving, where is this team really? I know you've got young guys coming up through the program, but you have to know that there's going to be quite a bit of a reset next year.
It's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts in that statement you just made there. And you're absolutely right. BYU will – it's going to be what it's been before. I mean, it just is. It's a tougher schedule. I don't think they had this tough a schedule like this when they were in the West, the Mountain West or the WAC or any other conference. I mean, this is a tough schedule every year for BYU. Here's the reason, Alex. Here's your silver lining. You want this?
Of course I do. I'm trying to tell myself.
Alex. It was you.
What?
You were at BYU. It wasn't whether Gary Croton is good or bad.
This is the Scott Mitchell superstition theory.
It was you. You were the bad karma right there.
So I shouldn't go back and get my MBA the next few years.
You probably were in the stands, and you probably went to all the games, and you probably didn't realize.
It's actually not true.
It was your responsibility.
Let me tell you how bad it got.
To go.
People were like, "You on my tickets?" Nah. Like, it was bad. The Gary Croton years were lean years. The quarterbacks were terrible. Everything seemed to just be bad. It was just so bad. And I showed up right in time for that to happen. So, yeah, it was probably me. I apologize.
Yeah.
And Gary Croton. I mean, come on. All right, we're taking the break here. When we come back, we've got more to go on the program. You don't want to miss it. After news, traffic, and weather, the Aaron Rodgers drama continues, and it's gotten even more dramatic. Somehow, he is not getting into the good graces of anybody on this planet. I can't think of one person who's excited about how Aaron Rodgers is acting, except for Aaron Rodgers. Stay with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.